Hey guys, welcome to another exciting episode of the Joey Utah Perspective. My guest today is not only a good friend of mine, but he's also my personal business mentor, and his name is Todd Gladys. Todd is a really great guy who served 8 years as a captain in the U.S. Army, and now he is the VP of online operations for a real estate company called 10X. So in this episode, Todd and I talk a lot about finding strength in numbers. And what we mean by finding strength in numbers is surrounding yourself with people who can help you better your situation in life or can help you see things from a different point of view. I don't care if you're a military veteran or you're a civilian. The fact is that we all need to surround ourselves with people who can help us better the quality of our lives in some way. So with that being said, guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Joey, first of all, I just want to commend you and what you're doing. I think what you're doing with veterans and just people in general is fantastic. So I want to applaud you first for what you're doing and getting in front of as many people as possible is always the best medicine. For me, quite simply, Joey, I'm a senior vice president at 10X. We do commercial real estate, and so that's sort of my day job. But I will tell you that what's most important to me and what I've been doing for many years is helping fellow veterans like myself transition into civilian and what that process looks like. And it can be very daunting. It can be confusing. It can be intimidating for different people in different ways and in different capacities. And so what I always like to do, like you're doing as well, is one, listening and finding out, you know, where the issues are, helping folks out and helping find some direction and get them in a place where their skills and what they're passionate about lead them that way. And I find that to be very, very rewarding. And, you know, I don't do it for any social media fame. It's just very near and dear to me, from a military family. Father served honorably in Vietnam. And so it's important for me to kind of follow and give back, not just for his service, but for everyone's service out there. So very important.
Oh, that's awesome, Todd. I love the answer, man. And in everything that you talked about, we talk about a lot. I forgot to mention before that Todd's actually my first official veteran mentor that I found through the American Corporate Partnership Program. I just want to give them a plug real quick because we both, you know, part of what brought us together is the fact that we both love to give back and help transition in veterans become successful upon getting out of the military. And the way that you're doing that is through this corporation, one of the ways, because I know you do a lot of stuff for us, but the most direct way that you're helping is with the American Corporate Partnership. And this is a nonprofit organization, guys, that offers a free 1-year mentorship to anybody transitioning out of the military. And I should say that covers, you know, to current veterans as well. So with that being said, Todd, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've been out for several years now. You work with a lot of veterans who have been through some tough times. What do you find is the biggest challenge that most veterans are facing upon getting out?
Well, great question. And I just quickly to follow up on what you said, ACP does great work. And I will tell you that where they're the most helpful is being sort of that front door, you know, because a lot of veterans, again, they come to the door, they come to the front door and they just need help. They need assistance. And ACP has just done phenomenal work in helping folks with that initial step. I will tell you that for veterans and individuals that I've talked to and run across over my years is again, there's a lot of information. There's a lot, from what I gather, they don't lack for information. It's really the quest for, I guess, one, processing through it, prioritizing it. You know, what do I need to do first? What's the first thing I need to do? Second thing I need to do? You know, where am I going to live? How am I going to feed myself? You know, what's my mode of transportation going to be? You know, and then, you know, kind of taking care of a lot of basic needs, interestingly, out of the gate. And then getting into a state of mind for what do I want to do? You know, what's the future hold for me now? I had an MOS. I had a number that identified me. It identified my you know, who I was. And when you transition to civilian, let me tell you, they don't ask for your MOS. You don't give them a number at the door and they say, oh, I know what you do. You're a sling load operator. So what I have done is tried to explain to them, hey, this is what you kind of need to do. You need to think this way. You need to talk about, you know, what your skill sets are, and then try to align those with a civilian career. And that's what you really have to look at when you're thinking about a job. What do you want to do? What are your thoughts? And that's very daunting. When you ask an open-ended question, like, what do you want to do? So then you really get down to it. Talk to me about what you're good at. What are you passionate about? What are the things you like to do? You start there, and then that will lead to job creation. And so that's kind of where I like to discuss with friends of mine transitioning out is what do you like to do? What, tell me about your likes, and then I tell you what, I'll find you 10 jobs you can do.
Yeah, I love that approach too, by the way, because it's just the most honest, right? I mean, how many vets do we know who get out and because they're coded with, you know, as a certain job, or they were like myself, I was an MP while I was in the military for 4 years. So when I got out, naturally I had tons of job offers and job opportunities to become, you know, a cop or a police officer, I should say. Cop can be a little derogatory. But I wanted to stay in that law enforcement kind of upper authority kind of role. And it wasn't until a few years I realized, hey, is this what really makes me happy? And not to make this about myself, but I feel like that's something a lot of veterans struggle with. And, you know, as you know, one of my biggest causes is to try and get that 20 plus suicide rate per day down. And from my own personal experiences and from what I've experienced talking with other veterans, that's one of the big things with it is lack of identity, lack of having a suitable job upon reentry into the civilian world. And like you said before, I wanted to hit on this too, because, you know, you said there's no shortage of information out there, and I totally agree. Whether, you know, you're using your computer or your personal network or your social network to find this information, I don't think that's the issue. I think the big issue with veterans coming out is all of that information can be overwhelming. You know, you go through a transition GPS 1 week program, and then you've got how many people shouting in your ears telling you to go do this or go do that. And I think it comes off as overwhelming. And I want to get your take on that.
No, I totally agree. I know all our friends come out, especially through TAPS or however they're transitioning out, and they're receiving a tremendous amount of information. And what I feel like also is that there's not a lot of direction. You know, it's to hand people a stack of information and say, hey, good luck to you. You know, it's just not a very comforting experience. And so what I believe is missing in the space is probably a more formalized process by which transitioning friends can figure out, hey, this is step one, step two, step three, very easy to follow, and doing it alongside their peers. You know, this is not something they do in a silo by themselves. You don't want them. I personally would never want to do this alone. And, you know, regardless of maybe their family situations that have you. But if you go through this with your transitioning peers and friends, it's having that same support group that you had in the military, whereas your fire team, squad leader, platoon. And so I think it's important when you say transition. Transition by definition is an ease from one to another, not necessarily, you know, jumping off a cliff and going straight down. So I think it's important that we do recognize that a transition should be an ease from A to B, and having your support peers around and a more formalized structure to accomplish, you know, what's goal one, what's goal two. Keep it in front of you. Keep it one day at a time. Don't tell me what you're going to do in 12 months. Because it's irrelevant. You know, we want to get you focused on the near term first, right? Get you situated, take care of the things that are important initially. Don't worry about 12 months from now. And that's part of that overwhelming that you discussed too, is the overwhelmingness is I've got a lot to do and my future, what am I going to do in 20 years? You know, all these thoughts start creeping into their head and it's like, hey, don't worry about that right now. That's overwhelming for anybody on the planet. Don't worry about it. Let's focus on tomorrow, next week, and next month.
Yes. And you know, I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins always says, when we're feeling overwhelmed, it's because of what we're focusing on. And you used that word just now, and I want to hit on that. If you're focusing on everything that's going wrong with your transition, or the fact that you don't have a job, or you don't have this, this, and this, I always say focus on what you can control. Take it one, like you said, one step, one day at a time. And the other part that I want to mention is, you know, when you go into the military, when you go into bootcamp.one, you know, you've got this support group around you in your other peers and in the other people who have signed the dotted line and decided to serve the country with you. And you use that word ease. And that's something that it happens when you're going into the military. I think everybody kind of gets eased into it. You know, in boot camp, you know, you're meeting different people who are going through the same extremely difficult process as you are of trying to figure out, like, who am I now? What is my new identity as I'm entering the military? And I think when you kind of strip that down, when you get out of the military, you're usually getting out by yourself, right? Unless you have a family member, or if somebody who's a close friend happens to be getting out the same day as you, which is usually not the case. So why don't you think veterans position themselves with other veterans, with other peers, a support group? Why don't they, do you think that's something that should be, you know, something that they should be taking initiative in doing? Or do you think there should be some kind of structure in place, some kind of resource that kind of directs them and guides them through all that information, through the whole process of transitioning?
Well, I would tell you that to your first point about the analogy to boot camp on the front end is a fantastic analogy, because you're right. You know, you experience the entry into the service as a group, and you go through your ups and downs together, and hey, how do I shine my boots, and where do we go for chow, and all, you know, what DD am I signing? And you're right. On the exit side, it's totally different. You know, you're one guy walking through the gates as if you just got paroled or something. So I would tell you that to your second point, I think it is very critical and necessary that our friends transitioning out probably walk out of the gate together, and whether they're able and have the ability to meet up with folks and other individuals leaving and joining together. And one last hurrah and a fire team to say, hey, let's transition out together, and we're going to use each other and help each other, and we're not in it by ourselves. I think that would be extremely, I think, Joey, you're onto something here. I love where you're going with this, because I think you've got a fantastic idea on how to help our friends move out of the service.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, you know, you've been a profound influence on mine, you know, since we connected a few months ago. And you actually kind of put that concept into my head. So I can't take 100% credit for this, just so you know, Todd. You kind of used the word fire team just now. And that's a great analogy, especially for veterans. And for civilians who are listening to this, what a fire team is, more or less, is it's a group of guys. It could be anywhere from what, Todd? 3 to 8 guys, right?
Depending 3 to 8, right?
Depending on the mission. And it's kind of like a safety net. It's a support group, so that when tough times hit or you fall down, somebody in your fire team is going to pick you up. They're going to stop and, you know, get a medic over to you if you need it, or they're going to just kind of dust you off and get you right back into the fight, you know, so you're ready to go and you're at optimal strength. And I always say, you know, we're at our strength in numbers is something that is preached a lot in the military. And I think it should be preached a lot in civilian life, that we're always, whether you're a veteran or a civilian, we're always stronger when we have a tag team partner or more, hopefully more people to lean on and help us in our times of need. So I do want to give you credit, because something that I'm trying to set up with the whole Joey Utah mission is these little fire teams, if you will. These little support groups I can kind of set up where veterans feel safe going to express their problems that they're experiencing during their transition. Whether it's some kind of lack of fulfillment, maybe you don't know what career field you want to go down or what career path you want to choose. Maybe you're having personal issues with family or relationships. Maybe you're having whatever it is, you know? But the point being that you always have this fire team that, you know, whether it's through a text message or through a phone call, that you're able to go to in your time of need and say, hey guys, I'm hurt right now. I need some bandaging up. You know, Joe didn't do so hot when we made the transition into this mission. Can I get some extra help? And what I always tell people is when you're being sincere with your feelings and you sincerely need help with something, people want to help, you know, especially other veterans. That's the one thing that we all have in common is this need to give back and to contribute and to help and feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. I know it's something that you talk about a lot. And I wanted to ask you, you know, a personal question. I've never really asked you this before, but was there any one particular moment in your career or your life that kind of ingrained that mindset into you, Todd, where, man, I'm here to help others. I'm here to help thy neighbor. You know, was there a certain event that did that for you, or is that just how you were born?
You know, I would tell you probably, you know, that's a good question. I would say probably not one exact moment, but for me, what I have seen over my career is since I've been out of the military is every job I've ever had. My military career is what got me the job, and my employers really like, you know, military veterans. You know, that was kind of their thing. And I would always talk and interview, say, with individuals within the company that were in the military. And so, you know, my takeaway from that is, you know, I implore everyone who is a veteran and they are in an organization, you know, go to your HR departments and make sure that, you know, the HR departments are aware of your military service. Sometimes they don't even know that, you know, there's individuals in their company that were military veterans. And secondly, you know, the reason it's helpful is because as companies interview and talk to potential clients, it's very helpful for them to talk to fellow veterans that are in the organization already. I think that's extremely important. And so that's kind of how the dots connect for me. You know, I've the old adage of, you know, when you take the elevator up, you're obligated to send it back down. Yep. And I think it's very critical that, you know, those veterans who are in the civilian side and have paved the road through the forest, you know, leave that road open for those behind them, because it's very critical that, you know, they're there to talk, they're there to interview, they're there to help counsel new candidates coming in. So let your HR departments know if they don't, all you out there who are veterans, because you will help people more than you know. And I'm a standing example of that in my career.
I love that answer, man. I think that's super important too. And you know, what's funny is, I feel like there's a lot of hesitancy on veterans to speak up about their past commitment, you know, their past enlistment. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like fear of uncertainty of, are people going to think a certain way about me? Is there going to be a stigma? I know that was one of my fears when I got out a few years ago and I started working in different restaurants to make ends meet. I didn't really talk about my military experiences a lot. And I do now, you know, because I still work in a restaurant part-time, and I do, not that I go around, you know, telling war stories all the time, first of all, because I don't have that many, but second of all, because I don't want to ever be perceived as I don't want to just talk to talk. I want to make sure, you know, whenever I'm saying something or telling a story or sharing a story of my military experience, I want to make sure that it has some kind of value, whether it's to other veterans and letting them know that, hey, you know, this is our common ground. I went through some of the same stuff as you, and just kind of build a bridge, you know, or even if it's to civilian counterparts, just to let them know that, hey, this is the mindset I operate under. You know, I being a veteran, being in the military is a big part of my life, and it should be for anybody who has served. And it shouldn't be something that is kind of just brushed aside or not talked about, you know, because the truth is there's a ton of value in your experiences, no matter what you did. I don't care if you were an MP or if you were the guy working at finance, writing checks, or the guy handing out towels at the gym. Whether you served, whatever part of the military you served in, and as long as you signed the dotted line, you've got some kind of value and some kind of experience. And I'm sure you've got a couple of great stories that will definitely help others. And if nothing else, it will help you build rapport with others. I'm not saying go around telling everybody about, you know, the depression that you may have incurred while you were in, or the bad stuff. Share the good stuff of the military. Share the team building stuff. You know, I told a story the other day at work about how when shit went wrong in the military, if something wasn't going right and wasn't helping us get closer to completing the mission, we would all huddle up. I would try to make sure that me and my team would huddle up and get on the same page. And the value in that, that I hope I was conveying to my civilian counterparts, is that it's okay if plans don't go well, right? They're not always going to, but communication is so key. And that was the value I was trying to share with them. And someone came up to me after and kind of let me know that it resonated with them. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, because that's something that some veterans, a lot of veterans who I talk with, they don't want anything to do with that. They don't want to talk about it with others at all. And I try to be that buffer that tells them it's okay. Like, you know, again, don't just go out spitting out all your information, but pick your spots to talk about that. What's your take on that whole thing, Todd?
Well, absolutely, I would tell you that one thing that's so beneficial and such a huge asset for our veteran friends is their orientation around teamwork. And there's no I in team. And I will tell you that that's actually a very hotly sought after commodity on the civilian side, because pretty much every shark in the ocean wants to feed themselves only, and not necessarily looking for a kill that'll feed their family. And so the analogy takeaway is that the refreshing attitude of a military veteran is that, hey, we are in this together. We succeed as a team and we fail as a team. We don't point fingers. And that's actually very, I will tell you right now, in leadership, in a lot of civilian organizations, you know, that is coming back around, is quite in vogue, if you will, is to, let's focus on we and not I. And so I think a military friend veteran has that already coded in their DNA, if you will, mm-hmm. and can be very valuable. I will also tell you that, to your earlier point about, you know, saying when you enter an organization, you know, how a veteran will interact with other civilians, perhaps. And what I find important is what I take away is not only is it important to engage a veteran and talking to a veteran that comes on board for us and figuring out his needs, but I also spend time with my civilian counterparts and helping them understand what it is to be a veteran, so that when they have conversations with our new veterans, that those conversations are easy and they're not awkward and they're not like, so did you fire a gun lately, or, you know, so again, you know, because a lot of times civilians don't necessarily know how to have those conversations. They don't even know where to start. If you ask them what are the four branches of the military, they'd say oak, you know, oak tree, you know, they don't know what four branches of the military are. So anyway, I'm also educating my civilian peers on how they can interact, because that interaction coming from them is just as important, if not as important, as, you know, kind of helping the veteran, assimilate, you know, into the organization.
Wow, that's a great point, man. And something, you know, it really kind of just hit home with me when you said that, because it's something I even forgot. You know, when I entered the organization I'm working with, I'm always looking at ways to critique myself and improve myself. So I'm already thinking, man, Joe, why didn't you have conversations with some of your, because there is a little bit of a hesitancy on civilians, from civilians' perspectives, when they're dealing with a veteran. You know, what is acceptable to be said to them? Should I ask them if they've ever fired a gun? Should I ask, you know? And I think just as much as you and I are trying to help transition in military members, I think a big factor in that is the civilians, the people who you're about to re-enter and work with. And understanding is the best way of doing it. Learning to understand one another and learn to understand each other's needs. And that's why I always put a high emphasis on open communication, because, you know, you can't understand something if you never talk to it, or you never take the time to ask or listen to somebody when they're telling you something about themselves. So I think that's a great point you just brought up. And I guess it's getting time to wrap this thing up, Todd. So I was going to ask you real quick, sir, not real quick, take as long as you'd like, to give any kind of parting advice or wisdom to any military listeners right now who may be struggling with their transition or who are about to transition and have no clue what they're about to get into.
Well, I would tell them, first of all, that there's, you know, not to use the line that there's plenty of information out there and good luck to you, but there, I would argue that there are plenty of individuals, plenty of friends, plenty of comrades, if you will, like yourself, that are standing by the door, ready to help. And it's not about the information, but it's about the people around you. And so, I would tell them again, just you always remember, you know, keep it short, short term, you know, don't worry about the long term. My mom always said, you know, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So, you know, don't worry, don't sweat the small stuff. Focus on, you know, the daily victories, and good things always happen, and they always happen for a reason. And we're always here for everybody. And the other thing I wanted to bring up too is, you know, at the end of the day, I think the goal is for transitioning folks to realize, you know, veterans are not Martians. They're not, you know, the terms we use when we kind of break everyone into, well, you're either a civilian or a veteran. You know, the labels to me, I think, do sometimes help continue the divide. I look at it to say, like, our veterans, our transitioning friends, just have another set of job skills ready to plug into the organization. They're no different than you and I. Hey, you got two arms, you got two legs, you got a couple eyes and ears. You know, you're just like the rest of us, and you eat and you sleep every day. So you know, you're not a Martian from a different planet. You have a unique blend of skill sets that is very, very sought after and critical in so many industries and organizations. So keep it up, chin high, and you will be just fine. Trust me.
Wow. Couldn't have said it any better, bro. It's again, you spoke to another truth in that, you know, that's kind of the big problem right now is, you know, when a military veteran goes to apply for a job or enters an organization or, you know, any unfamiliar environment, it's always like, that's the vet, you know, I'm the veteran. Sometimes there's a little hesitancy on both sides, right, from both parties. And I think that's why understanding yourself as a veteran and understanding what you bring to the table, because you bring a lot. You know, yeah, you were in the military, you might be a little more aggressive than most people, you know, that might be true. But let's look at the good. Again, focus on the good, like Tony Robbins said. You have team building skills. You have adaptability skills that you probably aren't even aware of. But just think about all the different times you got stationed somewhere else or you entered a new squadron or a new platoon, whatever it was, and you had to adapt. I mean, there was no choice. I have to change for these people to fit in so that we can get this mission accomplished. And I think it should be no different of a mindset when you re-enter the civilian population in that I have to adapt to them. Stop. I brought on Dwayne France a few weeks ago, who's a retired combat vet and a licensed counselor for veterans. And he talks a lot about why do military veterans always expect other people to change around us when we're the ones who know how to adapt better than most people in this country? So I think that was a great point that you brought up too, in that we need to know what we're bringing to the table. We need to look to our civilian counterparts and build a bridge somehow. I always say, find something you have in common. Anywhere I ever went, anytime I went to a new base or I went to a new job or I went to a new classroom because I'm in school, I always look to find someone who I can build common ground with. And that could be something as simple as, hey, we're both wearing Yankee hats, right? Hey, we're both human beings. Hey, we're both wearing backpacks, whatever it is. But you've got to communicate to find that common ground. And then rapport gets built there. And then that can lead to trust. And you never know what it could lead to. You know, if it could lead to a potential opportunity for you, a potential friendship, potential relationship. You know, the sky's the limit. It all depends on, again, being honest with yourself. And what you said at the beginning of the conversation, Todd, find out what makes you passionate in life. If you know, your passion in the military was always working out, you know, extra hard, maybe you want to go look at a career as a personal trainer. I don't know. But the bottom line is get in touch with what does bring you joy and fulfillment, and go do that and find others, whether they're veterans or civilians, who have the same things that you're looking to get, if that makes sense.
Well, Joey, keep doing what you're doing, and I promise I will not hold it against you that you're a Yankees fan, but keep doing what you're doing. You're a shining light for others. Keep it up, brother.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that so much. We'll talk some baseball smack as the season gets closer.
Let's do it.
All right, brother. It was great having you on, Todd. Thank you so much. And for anybody listening, where can they find any information on you if they want to get in touch? Is LinkedIn the best option for them?
Yeah, they can absolutely hit me up on LinkedIn, Todd Gladys, G-L-A-D-I-S, or again, our website is 10-X.com. If you know, there's commercial real estate or any interest, of course, in getting into real estate, certainly some guidance along those lines, I'm happy to assist. But technology, real estate, but or just anything else, just I'm a resource for anybody. So appreciate it.
Awesome. And we're going to post all that stuff in the comment section as well. Thank you again so much, Todd, for coming on the Joey Utah Perspective. You are the man, and I will talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Joey.
All right, Todd.